Turn with me, if you will, to two passages of scriptures, Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And also, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And we're going to read in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and then we'll flip over to Matthew, and that's where we'll begin the message. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. And it says, Mark chapter 16 says, And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. And then if you flip over to Matthew, many of us know that passage of Scripture as the Great Commission. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we love you today. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the demonstration of your love, your son Jesus, that came to live a perfect life, born of a virgin, but gave his life on that cross that we might have redemption, restoration with the holy God. Father, we thank you for his life, his burial, his resurrection today, that we come into this place free in this country to come and worship you in spirit and truth. Father, I come today, and Lord, if there's anything unconfessed in my life, I confess it before you. I don't want to be in your way today. So less of me, more of you today. If anything is seen of me, just a man that spent time with the Holy God. Speak through me today, God. Father, I pray that there's one here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. But for the saint of God, the church of God, God, that you would draw us to your word to be obedient what you've commanded us to do. Be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I said I come from that little small town in Houston, just south of here. I grew up in the 80s, and if you know about the 80s in that area, it was what we would call the urban cowboy era. And I, for most of my teenage years into my 20s, that was kind of my lifestyle. I'll leave it there. If you're familiar with Urban Cowboy, Uncle Bob took Bud to ride a bucking mechanical bull. I lived in that area where Circle 8 Rodeo was, so I was familiar with that area. If you don't know that, if you have never watched that show, watch it, get in God's will. That was my lifestyle. I tell folks, I was lost as a ball in high weeds. About 20, 21 years old, I grew up in church. I knew the gospel. I'd heard the gospel, but the gospel had not got a hold of my heart. I had not responded to the gospel message. And we started going to church after we had gotten married. We were heard that we were expecting our first child. And we went to this little church in Houston by the name of Airline Manor Baptist Church. You pray for that church right now. And we've been down there for the last 5 or 6 weeks preaching. Pastor by the name of Cliff Maton came and knocked on my door one Monday evening, October the 8th, 1984, and he asked me a simple question. He said, Tim, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And the words came out of my mouth that he wasn't expecting to hear, and I certainly wasn't expecting to say. See, because I could tell you that I was a Christian because I grew up in a Christian home. I could tell you the right things to say because I had heard it all my life. I knew it all my life. But when Brother Cliff asked me that question, he said, Tim, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? These words came out of this Northside boy's mouth. I would split hell wide open. With a couple of minutes in my house, he said, Tim, would you like to change direction? I said, absolutely I would. I prayed that night to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. God changed me because of the gospel message. He changed me because someone cared enough to come ask me where my life would be after life on earth ended. Not long after that, I felt a burden. And as I began to search, I believe now it was that call to ministry. And I didn't want to preach. I did not want to pastor. But that's what God was preparing me to do. But in the midst of all that, I began to seek God and to tell people that gospel story, that what changed my life. So over the years, I've taken Roman Roads, Evangelism Explosion, you name it, I've taken it. People sharing Jesus. The one thing, the heart of this preacher, and I'm just a simple old gospel preacher, the heart of this preacher is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. For the last 20 years being in the hospital, I get to do that every day. People come in, they're sick, they're hurting, and people are more receptive to the gospel message when they're hurting. Something is missing in their life. And we get to share the good news of Jesus Christ, me and our chaplains. We have been given, as Christians, we have been given the gospel message, the good news, to take to a lost and dying world. In just the next few minutes, let me give you some things about this passage of Scripture. And if I had a title for the message, I would call it Compliance to the Commission. We have been commissioned, sent out to take this gospel message. The first thing I see in here, we'll look at this, is the commission. What is the commission? It sums up in just one word. In one word, that word, go. I haven't taken a whole lot of Greek. I know just enough Greek to be dangerous. The word here is parouame. Parouame. It means to go one's way. Or many people say, as you are going. As you're going. My dear friend, I want to tell you something. You have some place to go. You have been put here. If you're a child of God, you have been put here and you have been given the gospel message. And as you are going, to take the good news of Jesus Christ with you. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity. But it's a command. It's a commission. Jesus said, go. When I was growing up in that north side home, my mom, on Saturday morning, we had just enough time to get up and eat a bowl of cereal, watch a few cartoons, but that was mom's day to clean the house. And so it was the shooing out of the house. You went outside and you stayed outside till lunchtime. You may get to come back to your house, eat a sandwich or eat somewhere else. And you came in at dark. But mom, on Saturday, it was that shooing away. It was that go. That's what we're to do. We are, as Christians, we are to go to share the good news. There's the commission. That's the key word. Go. Go. But what does he tell us to do as we're going? Look at what he says. He says, make disciples. Make disciples. As we're going, as we take the good news, the gospel message, we're told there will be a result as we go to make disciples. Now, let me repeat that again. Make disciples. Now, he's not just saying merely make converts or supporters of the cause. He's saying make disciples. The idea behind the word disciple is this. It means a scholar, a learner, or a student. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without studying the Word of God. You can't. I fear. And I know the Bible says we should not be anxious or fear. I believe with all my heart we're living in a time of some illiterate Christians that do not know the Word of God, that have not studied appropriately the Word of God, theology, the study of God and God's word. I do several funerals a year. I haven't done as many here lately, but in the 24, 25 years I've been a pastor, I've preached over 600 funerals. Many of them people I don't know. The funeral home used to call and say, are you available such and such time? This family doesn't have a pastor. I've learned this. If they don't have a pastor, they usually don't have any kind of affiliation with the church. And I find this very true within the hospital setting. If they don't have that affiliation, they're probably lost. About 60% of the people that asked me to come pray with them, they're lost, just like I was when I was in my 20s. They don't know and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What I found out one day, somebody said, and when I talk to them about people, and I'll say, can you tell me a little bit about grandma or grandpa? Can you tell me a little bit about mom and dad, your loved one? Oh, they were good people. That hurts me. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. People that know Jesus Christ go to heaven. People that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one way. Doesn't matter what society tells us. It does not change the gospel message. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I was with a family one day and they were telling me about grandma, and I said, do you have any passage of scriptures that I can read and bring the sermon around? And they took out in their folder and they slipped me a little piece of paper, and it was the poem Footprints in Sand. You've heard it before about, the end. I was walking along and I saw only one set of footprints, and it was God carrying me. Wonderful poem. I love the poem. That's not scripture. It's not scripture. We live in a society that's void of scripture. We're living in a time where God's word is mocked. God's word is taken out of context. Many times I was watching, I don't want to start this. I was watching the debate the other day. And a passage of scripture was brought into the conversation. It's completely out of context. Completely out of context. You cannot take that verse and put it here and not speak of everything else if you have a biblical worldview. And our biblical worldview has to come, as Christians, has to come from scripture. It's not what Tim Bird thinks. And I have some pretty good thoughts at times. My wife may have a different idea about that, but listen, my biblical review is not based on what I feel or what I believe. It's what God's word says, whether I believe it or not. Whether the world accepts it or not, it's still God's word. It's infallible, it's immutable, and it's good for doctrine and reproof and correction. We need God's word today. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Whoo, I like that. Y'all keep saying amen, I'll get you out sooner. I preach faster with amens. We need to be people of the word. We must be people of the word. Somewhere in the vision, somewhere in the mission of your church, there must be two important tasks. Telling people about Jesus and teaching them how to live for Jesus. Evangelism and discipleship. Many what happens to churches, and I got to confess, I've been a part of that. Going out and reaching people for Jesus Christ, seeing them baptized, I'll talk about that in a minute, and just leaving them alone. We've got to take them in the Word. We need to be people of the Word. The Word needs to get in us and get out of us. Then look what he says, baptizing them. The Word baptizo. That means to place under. I use this illustration all the time, and my wife was in here. She just stepped out with my granddaughter. My wife would just shake her head because I've used this illustration all the time. I love milk and cookies. Amen. I love milk and cookies. I do not sprinkle my milk and cookies. I baptizo my milk and cookies. I immerse them in milk. I hold them down many times. If I'm eating an Oreo, I'll hold them down till they quit bubbling. Now, that's not the way I baptize people, But I do immerse them. I place them in the water. If you look at Scripture, baptism always comes after a conversion, after meeting Christ. So we must have our baptism in order by immersion. I challenge you, my dear friend, if your baptism is out of order, get it right. Get right with God, not with Tim Bird. That's not my opinion. It's God's opinion. There's the commission. Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. Let's look at what this early church did. Jesus has commissioned them to go. What did they do with this commission? Are you ready? There's the compliance. The compliance. Look at verse 1. And they went out. They went out. Now, as I read this, and as it is implied in Scripture, I don't know really how many disciples there were at that time. Somebody says up in the upper room there's 120, 150 folks. They were commissioned to go. Was there others that was there? Probably so. What happened when Jesus gave that commission? What is it? It says they went out. I'm just of the assumption that they all did. That they all went out. This implies that everyone that heard the commission, they went out. Second, notice, they didn't form a committee. They didn't do a demographic study. They didn't take in the risk and the possibilities. Well, if we go out, there's probably going to be a few that tell us no. I guarantee you this. If you go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ, not everybody's going to accept it. The question was asked in Bible studies, why do some people not have faith? I don't know. I do not understand. But I understand that God has commissioned me, God has commissioned his church to go. And in the New Testament early church, they went. There's our example, church. There's what we're called to do, to called to go. And they went. This word used here for went out, it's the same implication of the word go. As they were going, as they went, they shared the gospel. Look at the third thing here. Look at the communication. We see the commission. We see the compliance. They're doing what God's told them to do. The communication. This is the word preached, and it's almost always used for the proclamation of the good news. Preach means to proclaim openly. It means to proclaim openly something that was done. What he's done for me. And what he offers everyone. He offers us forgiveness of sin. Abundant life here. And eternal life when we die. That's the good news. The communication. Yes, as you read Scripture, there are some that are called to vocational preaching, to be the pastor. But every child of God is called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. You don't have to go out on a foreign mission field to do that. I've been a Christian since in my early 20s. I've been pastoring for a little over 25 years, 26 years, I guess. I have never been on a foreign mission field. I've never really been outside of Texas much. And I have to say, why would you need to go out of Texas much? I mean, somebody, amen, right? I'm proud to be a Texan. I don't have to go out of the state. I don't have to go out of the country to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When I was pastoring my first church, a guy by the name of John Harlan came, and he was sitting in there, and I didn't know who he was. He came, and he after the service, he said, I'd like to talk to you. Can we have coffee? I said, absolutely. Yeah, we're talking. He said, I'm a president of a seminary down in the Yucatan Peninsula, down around Cancun, Media, down there in that area. And him and his wife had been at our church for about 6 or 8 weeks, and he said, I love your heart for evangelism. Would you come down and teach some of our pastors and our students about evangelism? And he said, if you come for 2 weeks, the following week, he said, you can we're going to have a revival at First Baptist Cancun. I mean, suffering for the Lord to go down to Cancun and preach. And I was so fired up. I was ready to go. I'd never been outside of the country before. I'd been down around South Texas and playing baseball when I was younger and things, but I'd never been down there, never been on a mission trip, and surely never preached a revival at First Baptist Cancun. I thought, wow, me? Wow. So a couple of weeks before I was supposed to go, I was up trimming these azalea trees, not bushes, they were trees that we had in our house, and it had been raining, and the ladder slipped, and I was holding an electric chainsaw brush trimmer. The ladder slipped. I went through the ladder and was hanging upside down. Tore a meniscus in my knee. Went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you ain't going to Mexico, boy. You can't ride on that plane. You sure can't walk around the mines. And I mean, I was heartbroken. I mean, I was just devastated that I was not able to go down. I mean, for the next 2 weeks, all I did was eat Bluebell butter pecan ice cream. I mean, that's what you do when you're heartbroken, right? I didn't get to go, and then Brother John came back and said, man, we had so many salvations. Wish you could have been there. I wanted to go. But you know, I realized then I had never been across the street to tell my neighbor about Jesus Christ. There's my mission field. My mission field is where God's put me. See, you're going to go tomorrow. You're going to be sent out. And as you're going, you're going to go to places that I may not ever go. And you get the opportunity, and I believe that if you pray about it, and that's what we're going to do at the end, if you pray for divine appointments, God will give you those divine appointments to communicate the gospel to somebody that's lost, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, listen, one of my favorite passages of scriptures, Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. We're all commissioned to go. Every one of us. We have received the gospel. And Jesus says, go. Go. Communicate the gospel. Tell people. When I read that verse, the one thing that I am always convicted of, the one thing that the Holy Spirit pulls on my heartstrings, if not me, then who? If I don't go, who's going to go? If I don't tell them, will you? You will meet people tomorrow and the years later that I may never meet. Will you tell them? He's asking us to tell them. Look at where he's told us. I'm just kind of reaching right into my outline here. And it says they went everywhere. Everywhere they went. Again, this takes us back to the commission, back to Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I'm going to give you the definition of all. You ready? All means all, and that's all it means. All nations. There's not one place that God does not want us to take the nation, the gospel message to. A fourth thing is, look at the company that they kept. The Lord working with them. As they went, the Lord working with them. Again, this is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. What did Jesus say? Lo, I am with you till the end of the age. I'm so thankful when I walk into those hospital rooms tomorrow, I don't go by myself. Because there is nothing within Tim Bird that can do this. I mean, I'm a great storyteller. I can tell jokes. I can entertain. I can even sing. I play a little guitar. It took me 2 years to learn that you didn't blow on it before it made any noise. I cannot do this unless the Holy Spirit does it through me. And the promise of for every believer is that the Holy Spirit at salvation comes to tabernacle. That means he takes up residence. I love that word. He dwells within you. And the Holy Spirit does a couple things for us. It convicts us of sin and self-righteousness. It draws us. It helps us to interpret the word of God. But the Holy Spirit helps us to accomplish God's will in our life. I can't do it. You can't do it. I hear people say that all the time. I can't live this Christian life. Well, praise God, we can't. It's him doing it in and through us. This guarantees his promise of his presence. This guarantees the effectiveness. I don't like to use the word success. It guarantees the effectiveness of the church. That would have been a good place to say amen. I'm going to start all over. Someone has said this. There is no excuse then for failing to exercise that power in our age. No time of apostasy will ever be so great as to nullify the true gospel ministry of the Bible preaching church. It will not return void. As we go out and we sow the seeds of the gospel, if we're faithful in that, God will bless. God will do great things as we just are obedient to his call. We go out and share the gospel. My first church, I'd been a Coca-Cola salesman. I was working for Dr. Pepper. I was a sales manager at Dr. Pepper. And I had surrendered to the ministry. And this little church out in East Montgomery County called me to be their pastor. I didn't know what to do. I'd been in church most of my life. I'd seen pastors. And somebody said, you're dumb enough right now. All you need to do is just trust God. I had no experience. On my resume that I gave to the church, it had Coca-Cola, New Wave Beverage, so Tropicana, and Dr. Pepper. I had been doing youth ministry, I'd been preaching, did some revivals, but I had never pastored a church. So his message to me was just trust God. Do what God has called you to do. I knew that one thing that I could do was tell people about Jesus. I could go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. So they had built in our area, they had built this subdivision of double wide trailers. There was 500 trailers coming into this community. And I was determined that we were going to knock on every door in that neighborhood. And it took us about 2 years and we knocked on every door in that neighborhood. Not one person, not one family from that neighborhood ever came to join our church. They come to visit, but they never came and joined our church. But I would go out every Tuesday night, me and some of the deacons, we'd go and we made a little package with light bulbs. Everybody needs light bulbs in their home, right? When you don't have a light bulb, that's when you need one. So we put together this little package and we'd go take them, welcome to the community, here's something about our church, come visit with us. What happened, because we were faithful in doing that, for over 3 years, we never went a Sunday without a visitor. And in the midst of that, we were seeing people get saved every Sunday, baptizing every month. There was a husband and wife that lived behind the church. Nobody in the church had ever met. Their two little girls came and accepted Christ during vacation Bible school, and me and one of the deacons and his wife went, just right behind the church, went to go tell them about the little girl's decision, and on the porch of their home, mom and dad accepted Christ. And folks were, the church grew, in spite of me. It wasn't me. It was God and us being faithful to do what he called us to do. There were people coming to join the church and being saved that lived in Cleveland. But we focused on that neighborhood until we were finished and we went somewhere else. People are everywhere. I don't know if you know this, but Montgomery County is one of the fastest growing counties in our nation. It has been for 10 plus years. People are everywhere. At a red light. At Walmart. They don't have Lubies anymore. They've closed up. People were lined up there. They are everywhere. There's no shortage of people. In every Bible that I have, I wrote this: you will never meet someone that Jesus did not die for and want to save. He died for everyone. He died for me. My job, my calling, is to go out with Jesus, go out with the Holy Spirit and share the good news of Jesus Christ. My last point, and everybody said, praise God, he's almost done. Look at the confirmation. Here's the confirmation. Confirming the word. They went out, they preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. The word confirm means to certify as true. He puts the stamp on it. When God's people go in his power and his presence and speak his word, God will confirm it. He always will. He certifies it as true. God's word, again, I said this earlier, it will not return void. So where does this leave us as a church? Where does it leave the Woodlands Bible Church? Where does it leave us as individuals, as followers of Jesus Christ? We must take the good news. We must take the good news with us wherever we go. I've been in school for a long time. I've crammed 4 years into 20. I never finished my bachelor's degree, and I'm going to finish this if it kills me. I was taking classes online through Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary Extension, and I had just started pastoring, and one of the guys in the online class had affiliations with an association of churches in St. Louis, Missouri, where the Southern Baptist Convention was going to be. And there's 20, 30 of us in the class, and he said, would any of you like to go preach in St. Louis if you're here for the convention? And I responded and said, yeah, I'd love to, while we're there, fill the pulpit for somebody. So he sent me the name of this church. They were without a pastor, and they were struggling. And he said, give me the name of some folks to call. And so we made our way that Saturday, got up the next Sunday. My whole family was sick. I think they were sick of hearing me preach, but they were all sick. So I went by myself. And the church was probably about 15 miles, 20 miles outside of downtown St. Louis. And the name of the church was St. James Road Baptist Church. And a little story about them. They were struggling. And so I went that Sunday morning, pulled up, and it's a huge, huge facility. It was seat about 300 or 400 folks, and it was just a handful of cars out in the parking lot. I thought, well, somebody told them I was coming. They didn't want to hear me. And so I went inside St. Louis, Missouri. If you're familiar with St. Louis, home of St. Louis Cardinals. I walked into the church, and this big church, everything was St. Louis Cardinal red. Pews, carpet, pulpit, everything was red. Just this red. And I like to do something when I go to a church I've never been in. I go look at the baptistry. I walk up and look at the baptistry. Walked up there, and there was dead cockroaches, spider webs, crickets in that baptistry. And it had this smell to it, like grandma's home, you know? Like ointment, and it's just not a real pleasant smell. Big old church, ugliest red carpet and everything you'd ever seen. And this smell. So I waited there for a little while, and I was just kind of walking around. This guy came in that I had talked to on the phone, and he said, "Thank you for coming." He said, "This church was built by a group of from Texas that came in and several years back and built the church." He said, "That folks will appreciate you being from Texas." I said, "Well, I hope you understand my dialect." And we talked for a few minutes, and he said, "You know, we've been really struggling." He said, "The story of the church was back years ago. The church was downtown St. Louis. It had almost a city block with the facilities. It was a really thriving church, probably close to being what we would now call mega church back in the 40s and 50s. Some very prominent preachers of the Southern Baptist Convention had preached there and pastored there over the years. But something happened back in the 50s and 60s in that area that changed not just that area, but changed our nation. Segregation. Neighborhoods began to change. And as the neighborhood began to change, this thriving church said, we don't want those people here. We don't want them here. And a matter of fact, he told me, this was his story, he told me that they had voted in a business meeting not to allow membership. Wasn't a few years later, they ran the pastor off because the pastor had the heart to reach all people. They ran him off. After that, the church began to dwindle down. So they sold the building. I'll tell you the story in just a minute. They sold the building, bought this piece of property, built this church less than what they had had, which was probably thousands. Now they're running about 300 or 400. The day I was there, there was probably about 25 people there. They lost their vision to reach people. See, that's not something that's even worthy of our vote. We can't vote if we're going to reach people for Jesus Christ. We can't do that. I know we're an autonomous church. Most churches are. Our call is to reach people for Jesus Christ. So the church sold the property to an African-American church. The people that they didn't want to reach. I made my way into St. Louis as I went back to the hotel to be with my family. That church was just thriving. Several services, ministries. There was a marquee out there that talked about all the ministry that they were doing in that church. While the church that sold them their property had went outside and just out of town and just died. You can't find the name of that church. I've Googled, my wife's Googled it. You cannot find that St. James Road Baptist Church anywhere. My humble but accurate opinion, they died because they stopped reaching people. They lost their heart. They lost their passion to tell people about Jesus. Remember the old song? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I don't know where you stand today. I hope, I pray that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you died today, I wouldn't want you to be like the old Tim Bird that say, "I'd split hell wide open." I know that if I die today, I'm going to be in the arms of my Savior. I'm going to be walking streets of gold. I don't know what heaven looks like. I hope I have a bunch of long blonde hair, curly blonde hair. I'm going to run around heaven and just let that hair just rock. That's my prayer, don't you? If y'all know something different, don't you? Don't spoil it for me. I'm going to be in heaven with my Savior, with my mom, my dad, my grandparents that trusted Christ as their Savior. But I know one thing that God has called me to do, and I know what he's called the church to do, is to take the message out through these highways and tell them to come. Come. One last story and I'm through. Mom and Dad, country folks. I mean, they were just country. They didn't know anything else. Daddy had a sixth grade education. He was a machinist and mechanic most of his life. Mom had to drop out of school because her mother got sick. She didn't ever get to finish school. Mama's family were sharecroppers. They didn't own property. They picked cotton and vegetables and got a portion of what they picked. Dad's people had land, but Dad said they were always dirt poor. They were just poor farming people. My mom and Dad, just sweet, sweet folks. Daddy more than Mama. Mama's the disciplinarian. If you have me back, I'll tell you about the circle whooping that she gave. If you came over to Jim and Maudie Bird's house, Mama's name was Maureen, but they called her Maudie. If you came over to Jim and Maudie's house, you're going to get treated welcome. Make yourself at home. But we would go to visit family. And always before we left, if we were visiting Uncle Jake's house, my daddy's brother, or we're in Orange visiting my mama's people there in Orange, Texas, Dad would always pray with whoever we were staying at, pray for our safety as we went back to Houston. Prayed for them. And here was the words that Mama and Daddy would say. Well, you might as well come along and go with us. You might as well just come on and go with us. And they meant it. That's what they meant. Grandma and Grandpa would say, well, you know, we'll be down in a couple of weeks. Well, you might as well come on and go with us now. That's what we get to tell folks. Might as well come on, go with me. I mean, I ain't getting up a load right now to go. I want to stay a little while. But I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven one day. You might as well come with me. You ain't got no better place to go. The other option's sure not better than heaven. You might as well come go with me. I told you I was just a country preacher. Might as well come go with me. Can I do this for you today as I close? Can I pray for the Woodlands Bible Church to be a great commission church? And can I do this? If you have someone on your heart today that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to be right up here during the communion time. Les is going to come and could I just pray for you if you just come up and say, just tell me somebody's name. And let's pray for them. We have not because we ask not. We can ask God to reach people and help us be used for his kingdom's sake. Can we do that? Father in heaven, we love you today. Thank you for your great love for us. Father, if I've said anything on my own behalf, on my own accord today, outside of your will, I pray that you would forgive me and somehow erase it from hearts and minds. But God, what you've spoken through your messenger today, Father, I pray that you convict us of sin and self-righteousness and help us to be the people of God that you've called us to be. Oh God, I pray for the Woodlands Bible Church. Father, I pray that great days will be ahead for them. God, I pray that they would see within the midst of all these trees and roads, I pray that they would see the harvest that's awaiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would just bless them, and as you bless them real good, God. Fill these seats with souls that have an eternal destiny, that they could reach and share the good news of Jesus Christ with. Not for the glory of the church or for the people, but for your honor and for your glory, Lord. And God, we'd be careful to give you praise for what you've done already, but God, what you're going to do in the days ahead. Bless them, Lord. Bless Brother Dale and his family as they come. And again, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen.